Hello again and welcome everybody back to BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. We've got some nice selection for you this show, so hope you enjoy. So, I said last show that there was a game that I just didn't have time for to talk about last week, so why don't we start with it this week? Let's just dive right in and play one of the tracks from it, and I'll talk a bit more about it for afterwards. Sound good? All right. And that, my friends, was called Tragedy. It was composed by Jesse Valentine, and it is from the video game No One Has to Die, which was created by Stuart Madafiglio. Now, No One Has to Die is actually kind of an interesting game. Like I said, sometimes it's actually a game you find online, so if you do a search into it, any search engine, you should be able to get it up on your browser and play it pretty much instantly. The game is actually kind of an interesting thing, kind of experimental, kind of gameplay, but the basic gist is like this. You suddenly find yourself in a security room. Suddenly, by getting on the computer, you manage to find contact with four other people who are also in the same building as you are. You're meant to be on a tour, and suddenly now you find yourself in a guard room with two of the security guards killed by some unknown assailant. You're kind of freaking out, and you're desperately trying to engage on the computer, trying to message all these people in the building to try to figure out, A, what's going on, and B, if you can possibly escape the apparent fire that's now raging in the building. Obviously, this quite freaks you out, but it doesn't freak you out quite as much as suddenly discovering that all these people you're talking to, such as a boss, such as a mysterious person who claims he started the whole thing, but of course we all are familiar with all these twists and intrigues, so we know that there's more to that story. And then there's a young woman who seems really worried, and an assertive jerk who basically keeps arguing but is probably just really scared about everything that's happening. You're trying to talk with them on all this, on all the computer things, but you suddenly start realizing the icky feeling that as you go on, you're basically the person who ends up who has their lives in your hand. You see, there's a fire raging. You're in control of the security room, but due to all these safety, and I mean that in the ironic sense, precautions, you only have limited control on the doors, the fire suppression system, and as a result, you end up having to make decisions between who lives and who dies. This is kind of creepy. It basically means that at every single step, you basically have to decide, wait a sec, I have to choose between killed this guy dying and that guy dying, and who you choose turns out to says a lot about who yourself, how you view these people, and it basically puts you in a very, very icky position that basically you find it very hard to escape from. Now, I don't want to spoil the ending, but I think you can guess even from the title that there's a little more to it. It's not just, it can't just be about you know, that by the end of the game, that the only person surviving is the one that you want or anything. You know that there has to be something more. Maybe there's a way, if you keep playing it or trying different combinations, something will happen or not. But the funny thing about the game is that's a hope you cling to as you try to play the game again and again and see the different things. And that's kind of the point of the game. A lot of games you play through it and try to get to the end, but some games want you to play this again to try to get different results. And in this game, which is all about trying to choose who lives and who dies, I suppose that's one of the questions it answers. It's very simple, but it's a very interesting game with good writing, and as the game progresses and you get more ideas and answers to what's going on, it also gives you the plot and understanding of the game seems to build up until you finally get to the conclusion. So definitely it's a fun little game. It definitely examines sort of narrative about how decision, one of the whole important things about games is how a decision can make something go one way or the other. And but that's a problem because in video game, in books or in movies, there's only one version. But in video games, if you make a decision, sure you're making a decision, but that means that there's now two possibilities of a game that you're now playing. And so if you're in one path, don't you always think, well, what happened if I took that other path? And I think that's one area that this game tries to actually say, it encourages you to take both paths, to try to see all the combinations and try to get an overall idea of the whole situation. But the first time you play it, when you first have to make the decision between who lives and who dies, definitely very creepy. All right, I'll play one more track from that game, and then I'll talk about another game. It's No One Has to Die is a pretty short game. You can get through it pretty quickly. So I'll just play one more track and move right on. And that was Ray of Light from No One Has to Die. Once again, it was composed by Jesse Valentine. You can play the game online, and indeed you can download the entire soundtrack from Jesse Valentine's Bandcamp page. So there you go. So on the topic of games that can sometimes have somewhat disturbing tones, here is a game that actually seemed kind of disturbing right from the get-go. The music I'm going to play is straight from the game's trailer, but of course the trailer was then put into the actual game itself, so it all sort of counts, and it's actually a pretty damn good summary of both the game and the setup of the game as well. If you actually watch the trailer, you'll get a really nice disturbing black and white, largely cinematic animation crude thing about the game itself that kind of makes you feel very, very uneasy. But I think even from the music, you'll get a bit of that feel. It's from a game called Little Inferno, and I'll play it from you right now. It's
but up out of your chimney, way up in the sky, it's been snowing for years, and we just don't know why. Our world is getting colder, but there's no need for alarm. Just sit by your fire, burn all of your toys, and stay warm.
And as I said, that is from the video game Little Inferno. It is made by the Tomorrow Corporation, which is as you see, is a bit of a parody name, but also made out of a lot of the people who made 2D Boy. And in common with 2D Boy, of course, made Tower of Goo. And of course, the music for both Little Inferno and Tower of Goo is Kyle Gabler, who I talked about in the show before. So, yeah, what is Little Inferno about? Well, it's a really, really kind of weird game. But basically, the storyline is essentially that you're a kid and you've just installed a Little Inferno entertainment fireplace. And the whole thing is you burn stuff. It is basically a fireplace simulator, the entire game, or more like a cartoony simulator. The entire game is basically you throwing things into the fireplace and burning them and watching them burn. And throwing them on top of stuff that's already burning and see that those burn. And then taking more stuff, putting on that thing that's burning. Now, for some reason, anytime you burn an item, it releases all these gold coins. And you take the coins, and the coin value of the coins amounts to more than the item is actually worth. So you burn stuff, and you get coins, and you use that coins to buy more stuff to burn in the fireplace. It's basically burn a lot of stuff in a fireplace. Very, very well. If you're a pyromaniac, I think this is the game for you. Because it's just about burning. You can burn a lot of stuff. You can buy toys, you can buy buy iPad ripoffs, you can buy expired medication, you can burn bottles of ice. You can even try burning dry ice as well. And of course, acidic leaking batteries, of course, because this is all a game that kind of tries to go for the whole, you know, weird stuff about all this stuff you're burning for no apparent reason. And of course, you can even burn a nuclear bomb, which somehow detonates it, even though anyone who knows anything about nuclear bombs knows that simple fire won't detonate it unless it's primed. But let's really, who's looking into that level of detail? Seriously, I mean, you know, it's a video game after all. So it kind of sounds like a very weird game, but it's also kind of compelling in a weird way, because you know that burning can't be everything. You end up getting messages from a girl on the other side of the fireplace. You get communications from the weatherman who's on his balloon above the city talking about how everything's just covered in clouds and barely anyone can see the sun. There's some talk about how the Tomorrow Corporation in the game has a logo, but not sure whether the sun is rising or setting. A lot of weird stuff, so you know that there's got to be more than what's going on right in front of you. But nevertheless, there you are in front of your fireplace, burning more and more stuff. You might wait for the fire goes out, stack a whole load of stuff and burn it in one go. Or you might just get a whole load of stuff burning, then throw in something explosive and just let everything blow up. And it's kind of a weird and funny and interesting sort of game. There's not that much gameplay to it per se. Some of the decisions in deciding what combination of items will get you the most amount of money fast enough, but usually the most expensive items when burnt will give you the biggest rewards. But then again, some of them take a little longer to develop. There's all that sort of stuff, but you don't really worry about them that much because... And on top of that, you also get certain awards for burning certain combination of items. It's kind of a whole little pun. For instance, if you burn credit cards and a toy bank, that gives you one sort of combination. And also, if you burn credit cards and a lawyer's briefcase, you also get, you know, legal charges thing. And the game also contains a couple of parodies to other video games and stuff, and it's all kind of fun and delightful and stuff, but it's got a funny atmosphere to it. The artist involved, I think his name is also Kyle, I forget his second name. Also, there's just the sort of illusion and atmosphere that's in a lot of these works, both, like I said, World of Goo and this. There's definitely, it's always off-putting. It's kind of a childish, cartoonish, black and white thing that should look encouraging, but somehow just unsettles you in a very subtle way. It works pretty well. But this game is actually fairly optimistic, all said and done. When you finally get to the end of the game, and yes, there is an end to the game, it's not just constantly burning things in a fireplace, although that's kind of part of what it's about. One of the themes of the game is whether you can keep doing this thing forever, and that's part of the whole reason. But and the ending does throw up one or two things that would surprise you. But it's a fun game. It's kind of an experiment. It's kind of weird how you're playing this game and realizing, you know, what is the game here? Why are they asking us to do this? Isn't this very silly? But in the end, what can I say? It just works. And when you're playing a video game, that's the main thing. So, once again, that's Little Inferno by the Tomorrow Corporation, music by Kyle Gabler. And I think I'm just going to move on to my next track now, actually. The Little Inferno can be played on a wide variety of platforms, anything from the iPad to the Wii U to everything. But the next game I'm going to play actually was originally for the Nintendo DS handheld console, but actually is now also on the iPhone and iPad. It's actually something that's happened to one or two Nintendo DS games because, of course, they were played by a touchscreen. So when a hugely popular device ended up making huge amounts of money and selling to a lot of people that also relied on touchscreen, it made it a lot easier to port Nintendo DS games over to it. Another game that did this was World Ends With You, which I discussed in a previous show. But enough of that. Have a listen to this next game. What you just heard is Ghost Trick, the main theme of Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. This is actually a pretty fun game, like I said, on the Nintendo DS and also on iPhone and iPad. It was so essentially what Ghost Trick is about. Well, you start the game dead. Surprisingly, that's not the only game that starts you off dead, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. So essentially, you find yourself dead, you look at a corpse and you go, oh damn, how the fudge did this happen? But apparently, before you can quite respond, a desk lamp starts talking to you and telling you that while you are a ghost, you have ghost powers, or else called ghost tricks, hence the whole thing. So, kind of stumped by pretty much everything that's going on, you suddenly see that a woman is in danger by being bombarded by an assassin, and essentially the desk lamp is telling you, no, wait, you have the power to actually prevent her death. So, of course, a little puzzled by what's going on, you try to figure out what's going on, and apparently what your ghost tricks actually are. And do you want to know what they are? Well, for a start, if you find someone who's dead, you can rewind time 4 minutes to before their death in order to try to prevent their death. Well, that sounds pretty exciting. So what powers do you have to actually prevent their death? Well, you can manipulate items. So if you possess a fridge, you can open that fridge. If you possess a fan that's spinning around, maybe you could make it spin a bit faster. And yes, it kind of starts seeing underwhelming exactly how, like, making a like bowl rock and spill a tennis ball onto the ground is going to prevent an armed assassin from killing a young woman. But you gradually start to figure out that that's the whole damn of the game. You've basically got this really cool power. You can jump from object to object, although, and once you do, you can adjust things in very small ways, and maybe, just maybe, if you adjust the right set of objects in the right way at the right time, you can start this whole chain reaction sequence that actually manages to stop the person from dying, or in this specific case, stop the assassin from killing the girl. So it's kind of a bit of a funny thing, though. But so you use these tricks, you save the girl's life, and you find two things going on. First of all, you have no memory who you are. You see the corpse, of course, and you basically don't remember how you died or who killed you or what the heck is going on. And you're desperately trying to get your memory back, which amnesia is also far more common in video games, but let's leave it for now. At least it's a clear thing. Second problem is that you clearly know that the girl being attacked by an assassin is part of a far more complex plot that's basically stretching not just to a couple of things going on, but also what seems to be some foreign conspiracy that's being enacted against your own country, which is never actually explicitly named. And essentially, it involves a whole load of things, a lot of dirty underdoings, and a whole cover-up in things involving the Justice Ministry. You're not sure what's going on, but the whole thing is about trying to get to the bottom of it. In doing so, you meet a crazy cast of characters. You regularly find a lot of people to end up dead on arrival and desperately have to continue reverse time by 4 minutes to try to save their lives. And you find yourself trying to figure out, replay the 4 minutes over and over again, trying to, sometimes you can only jump from one object to another within a short range, so you have to try to find the right sequence of objects and the right timing to get to where you want to go. And then you got to manipulate the objects in the right way so that they achieve your objective. And some of the cast of characters is brilliant and colourful. I mean, this game was created by Shu Takumi, who essentially also created the Phoenix Wright franchise, if you're familiar with it. I talked about that previously, which is a kind of a little over-the-top but fun thing about a defense attorney who ends up constantly having clients who are both innocent but also have absolutely everything that's stacked against them in terms of evidence and has to try to break it down. I talked about Socrates Jones' Pro Philosopher, which took inspiration from Phoenix Wright last week. But essentially with Ghost Trick, we've basically got a huge complicated conspiracy. You've got a whole cast of characters with their own motivations, and you've got you who's just jumping around from one place to another, you know, going through the phone lines to get from one destination to another. By the way, that's a fun thing about this country. Wherever this country is set, it's a place where cordless rotary phones are apparently the height of telecommunication fashion, or so to speak. But it's fun, it's colourful, and like I said, you basically, whether you're looking at the huge plot, which is actually pretty well put together, it's a story emerges and you end up going to a prison and trying to figure out what sort of stuff is going on and how it all relates to an instance that you apparently took place 10 years ago. And on top of that, you're also just suddenly the more frantic next to the action of trying to manipulate the objects and try to change the course of a sequence of events so that the thing that the death you're trying to avert doesn't happen. So overall, a pretty good game, pretty fun, and it has, like I said, it's even got a Pomeranian helping you out at one point, which is a dog, and the dog is very enthusiastic and loyal, and it's just so much fun to talk with him and everything. You do have limited ability to talk. Apparently, if you rescue someone's life, then they can start talking with you, and then might even be able to remember their death. So it turns out there's one girl which you keep helping ends up dying so many times, it's like it almost disturbs you how casually she's treating the whole thing. You basically go up to her and said, "Yeah, you're dead again." And said, "Oh, well." And she'll go, "Oh, well, let's reverse time and then everything will go fine again." It's like, could you please act a bit surprised about this? It's not actually, do not get in the habit of continually dying. It's not something, if I'm not around anymore, I won't exactly be able to help you out with this. Which actually brings you to another point. The whole point is that the desk lamp, who you still don't know who it is, told you that by the morning you will fade away into absolute nothingness. So you literally only have one night to save the girl's life in all its possible forms, figure out the enemy is, solve the enemy, and basically wrap everything up while at the same time restoring your memory, figuring out who you are, and finally being at peace with yourself in whatever way that is. It's a huge task, so pretty much every chapter takes place at a specific period of time, almost like the TV show 24, although with far more regular time periods. So essentially, That's how it goes. You're just desperately trying to go from place to place and drag everything together in the space of one night. It's a good plot. It drags you along. There's a lot of interesting sequences. One stage you're even dealing with a turkey kitchen, and essentially there's an undercover agent who's disguised herself as a roller skating waitress and everything. And it's all just a good thing. And how everything comes together is a lot of fun as well. All right. There's one more track I'll play before I head off. This is called 4 minutes before death. Yes, as you can see, you hear this track quite a lot as you're playing the game, because after all, you go back in time, music starts up and you play along. And of course, towards the end, as the 4 minutes gradually elapses, things become a lot more tense and a lot more speeding up. And you're going, okay, damn, what have I got to do? Have I missed my chance already? What do I do? We'll have to reverse time again and go through this all again. And basically, it's kind of a theme you've become very, very familiar with. This is a slight variation of the theme, but it should still be a bit of fun. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to the show. This is David Collins with BitNote, leaving you with 4 minutes before death from Ghost Trick. Thank you for listening.